We're doing the Sefer Amidot. We're up to page Kuf Tzadi Hey. The Magen Miduvna had brought us to the love of the Tzadikim and Shei Maaseh, the top level of love. And these are people who recognize the kindness that Hashem affords them in this world. And he had said, they live a life of confidence, just like a baby that's being held by his mother, who feels like life is perfect. So too, the giants of the nation, they live a life with the sense, life is perfect. So you'll ask me, what's perfect about life? I just read about Rav Gustman. He was a giant in Europe, and then he came to the United States and built a yeshiva, Netzach Yisrael, and then he came to Rechavia and built another yeshiva here in Israel, continuation, Netzach Yisrael. He witnessed the Nazis playing target practice. They'd have mothers hold their babies and do target practice on the babies in their mother's hands. He saw such horrible things. He lived for a few days with his wife and daughter among corpses in a pit. They thought he was dead. He, his wife, and his daughter were among corpses, and they'd until finally they were able to join the partisans. He lived such a difficult life, but the Magen Miduvna says the giants of Am Yisrael, they don't have to fear anything because they feel that they're in the hands of Hashem consistently.
Who wrote the book?
It's not a. It wasn't in a book. It was quoted as someone showed me an article about him. So I learned by his talmidim. So I never got to see. Ah, yafe, yeah.
But I was always careful about things because physically we have much to fear from evil rules this world. It allows people to basically conquer the world sometimes. Think back to the times of the Egyptian Empire. Think back to the times where at first in World War II it looked like Hitler and Mao Zedong and his cronies were going to divide the world. They indeed they had much of Eastern Europe and indeed they killed many giants before. Think about
right.
When she was captured and didn't kill them all the way. We read about the night of all the deaths of the great rabbis. So indeed, I mean, not only is evil prevailing in the world, it rules the world much of the time, and we have much to fear from evil, physically speaking.
Is that so?
Being a servant of Hashem doesn't mean you're going to be saved from evil.
No one said that they'll be saved. The question is, do they fear? It's two different questions. Meaning you assume that when I say don't fear, that means the outcome will be pleasant. And that's not what I said. Those are two different questions. Rabbi Akiva could be skinned to death and stand there and say Shema Yisrael. That's a different level. That's not that he doesn't fear because he thinks he's going to live or it's going to be pleasant. It's that he doesn't fear because he can live his life in a way that recognizes that Hashem is running every minute and stand up to every challenge, including his own death, when he knows it's happening, and be saying Shema Yisrael v'avta et Hashem Elokecha on the moments, on his final moments. That's what I mean. It's not that they have any guarantee that life is going to be pleasant. They have a guarantee that what's happening is being run. It's not a coincidence. It's not happening because evil rules. It's happening because, for whatever reason, Hashem is deciding it should be so. Now, that doesn't mean they don't do hishtadlus. Rabbi Akiva's disciple, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, spent 13 years in a cave, right? They definitely, when they can, they avoid evil. They run away. When necessary, they fight evil. Those are two different questions. Of course, they're going to do their maximum to fight it. And of course, they have no guarantee what the outcome is going to be. And even so, they don't fear. It's a totally different level. Meaning, a person will fight when necessary, run when necessary, and do everything he's doing with the recognition Hashem is running the show. Now that the other important point is that people aren't perfect either. Meaning, they asked Rav Arya Levine. I think it was him that they asked if he's one of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim, one of the 36 hidden Tzadikim. And I think it was him who responded, sometimes. Meaning, We think that these hidden tzaddikim are constants. And Chazal teach us that we all have ups and downs. Tzaddikim also have ups and downs. So he said, there are times in my life when I live up to what I should. And there are times when I'm one of them. And there are times when maybe you're one of them. That's what they quote in his name. So we're talking about people who are high up there. And they could live a life that's without fear. Because they know what they're doing is right. I don't know if we can imagine what that means. When Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, about a decade and a half ago, he was burying his wife. No, it's more than that by now. It's 2 decades ago. Okay, time passes. And at the Levaya, he said, the custom is that we ask our spouse forgiveness if we ever did something wrong. I could say that all the years we were married, I did everything in accordance to the Shulchan Aruch. I never did anything that was not in accordance with the Shulchan Aruch. But being that the custom is to ask forgiveness, I'll also ask forgiveness. Great. I don't know if we can imagine such a person. We have a roommate for 2 weeks. We have to ask forgiveness. They lived together for decades. But that's when a person can have confidence, when they know they've done theirs. And he continued and said, look at the beautiful pasuk, Ashrei ha'am yodei teru'a. Praised is the nation, yodei teru'a, that knows the re'ut. Teru'a, he said, is from the word re'ut, that knows the great relationship they have with their Creator. They know how much Hashem loves them. V'yodim ki Hashem bo panecha ya'elechun kol hayom tamid. And they know that in truth we are walking in Hashem's shine, so to speak, daily. V'yodim, we're in the middle of the middle paragraph, kim tziutam ba'olam ach nedava v'chesed me'et aboreit barach. They know that their existence in the world is kindness from Hashem. Ki lo kidemu et Hashem b'mincha v'lo b'vakasha. Because they never gave any gifts, they never gave any requests to be created. They never prayed, they never asked. There's no real cause that they can take credit for their own existence. It is only His will up above, blessed be He, to do good, whether we deserve it or not. He chooses to give us good. He creates us. He gives us health. He gives us the basic sustenance. Zot yavin yitzirat shelo ya'ud linivra lehov et atzmo ulagdil da'ato be'inav. So every creature should really understand that he shouldn't be narcissistic. Ve'ech ya'iz panav livchor la'atzmo animav lachpotz pa'asagat ha'tov mibli yata'ato ila lazeh al ma ve'lama. I think we saw this, right? Yeah. Where did we leave off last night? Does anyone remember? Okay, so really quickly. Even what we have, no one owes it to us. If what you have is a freebie, it's a gift, how could you ask for more? One page Kuf Tzadivav. Would you do that to your Creator? You're simply a new creature. He's given you so much, you're going to ask for more?
Doesn't Hashem promise that if we have to live according to His commandments, that He will give us a good life? Like materially.
Right. So, I think that things have to be divided. It's within our rights to ask That's the whole idea of tefillah. What he developed over the previous chapters is the idea that firstly, the focus on the worldly goods as a focus of life is something that's pointless. It's tools, but it's not an ends, it's a means. And if it becomes an ends, so then a person is never going to be happy with it. That's what he developed earlier. And now he's developing the understanding of how giants live. And yes, technically, at our level, our job is to daven for the things that we would like or the things that we need. And that's okay. That's the commentaries say on the Siddur that there are two levels of tefillah. There's a level of tefillah of a common person, which is, God, I want $1 million. I want what every person wants. I want a nice wife. I want a nice marriage. I want a nice home. I want a nice car. I want a nice living. There are basic mundane things which a person is entitled to talk to his creator about. He said, he built up to this for many chapters. Well, we've been learning this many pages, that these are the giants. He's talking about the top level people of Israel. And he's saying that the tzaddikim, the top people, understand that really whatever we have is a freebie. On our level, we're fine if we daven for those things. But he is giving us a taste of what the higher people live. And on their level, they look at life and they say, I have so much. By what right am I going to ask for more? That's their level. That's Yaakov Avinu, who's been killing himself for 14 years, being an honest joke because he thinks that's what God wants him to do, even as his father-in-law is tricking him and swindling him, and he's contending with every type of deceit with his father-in-law, and the next 6 years are no picnic either, and finally his father-in-law almost kills him, and then he has to go face up to his brother who's ready to kill him. And he's been doing everything he thinks God wants him to do, and he says, God, I don't know by what right I could even ask you for anything. Right, he had a miserable life, but he still, he approaches it. A few things. So firstly, Chazal say that on some level Yaakov was wrong and he was punished for that. And secondly, Chazal say that the main thrust of what he was trying to say was he wasn't complaining over his life, but rather Paro said, you look so old. Why do you look so old? To which Yaakov said, you're right. According to some of the commentaries, this Paro saw Yitzchak. This Paro was a kid in the court at the time that Yaakov's own father came. And so he was comparing him. He was saying, I saw your father. He didn't look as old as you. Why do you look so old? You're younger than him.
Maybe.
So.
Rich.
Okay, but he, that's why I said he was a kid in the court. He was a kid in the court of Avimelech when Yitzchak came there. And yeah, I think that's, you could look in my notes. It's on Parshas Vayigash. I have it in my notes. I don't remember what the source is, if it's the Cheskuni or the Baalei HaTosfos or in the Medrash. But it says, in one of the commentaries, it says that that's why he was asking. And so Yaakov Avinu said, you're right, I'm younger. The reason I look this old, and that's what he was saying, because I me'at v'ra'im, you're right that my days were less than my father, but they were more difficult. I had a harder time than my father. Meaning he was explaining something to Paro. What was he saying? Was he complaining to Paro about what a tough life God gave him? You meet a non-Jewish king for the first time in your life. This is the conversation you're going to have with him? I want to tell you what kind of tough life God gave
him.
So that's why the commentaries give different interpretations, and this is one of them. Look, proof of the pudding is that Yaakov Avinu had prophecy. You can't have prophecy if you aren't happy. There are levels to build up to prophecy. If he was miserable, he couldn't have had prophecy. So that, it's a different level. You'll ask me, how did he have prophecy a few days after his daughter was raped? It's a good question. It wasn't easy for him. You see the greatness of Yaakov Avinu. How did the prophet Jeremiah have prophecy over the destruction of Jerusalem? How could he prophesize the words, Yedei nashim rachmaniyot bishelu yaldehen? The hands of merciful women cooked their own children. Was he happy when he said those words? He's saying those words, but he's on a different level. He's seeing it from a different perspective. The pain is different. And it's not contradictory to being on that level. But that's a level that we can maybe perceive, maybe we could think about. So he's sharing with us there is such a level, that a person is on such a level and he's so connected that he can live with the difficulties. It doesn't mean he doesn't hurt. The person does hurt and he does live on this planet. But he also has a certain serenity that comes with that connection. I could tell you, I got a taste of it. I saw it once in my life. I remember the Shabbos after Rav Bigun buried his son. I was here. And I asked myself, how's he going to give the Shabbos Breshem? And it floored me to see the sweetness with which he could talk about the Torah and Hashem that Shabbos. So that blew me away. So the Magen Midubna, I agree with you. How Rav Bigon on that Shabbos was able to talk with the same sweetness about the Ribon Shom and about the Torah, you would have never known what was going on. And I remember 2 years later, he had a grandson who was very ill, who also passed away. And same thing. You saw a person who was facing tragedy after tragedy and was standing up there and talking sweetly, and you would never know what was going on in his personal life. So
there's stories also about the building that not only when they came to the Shabbos and they had to make a dog, then they began to cry.
The that's one level. Okay, but I'm talking about a different level. So, going back to the Magen Midubnos, again, he's sharing with us a level that is beyond us, I agree, but he's saying, on their level, they view it as, he's done so much to me, how could I ask for more? They feel like, if I'm going to ask for more, he'll be upset at me. By what right? I'll lose what I have. If you have someone who you've given a double portion, more than he deserves, and he comes and asks for more, won't you want to take away from him what you gave him? I can tell you I have that with my kids all the time, and you definitely do. Definitely do. Sometimes the kids will come and say, Abba, could we have meats? So I'll give them 2 cups of meats. So then they come and say, okay, now what about a third? And you look at it, I give you double what you asked for. Okay, sometimes you feel that way. Shezeu hora'a alav she'ino makir batova, because what he's saying is, I don't even appreciate what you're giving me. Hayarav zot lenafshecha, would you be happy? Would you feel good about that? The wise man already said, when you have to behave towards someone who's above you, think about how you'd want someone beneath you to treat you. You want to know how to approach your boss? Think how you'd want your worker to talk to you. And the same thing towards the Creator. So, we're stopping in the middle of a thought. We'll pick up here next time.